This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
I, Jerry Bettman, will preside over at least one more lockout before I hang him up and call it a career.
I don't think he's ever said his full name.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Abbreviated show on TSN 2. We're only here for about a half an hour, Craig. So bring the heat on TV for the next 24 hours. You don't get enough TV time. You need to take advantage. Leafs in action tonight in New York, taking on the Rangers. You can watch that on TSN 4. Raptors in D.C., taking on the Wizards. Our buddy Jack Armstrong will join us around 6:30. But the Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance at Darren Dreger in studio. What's up, Dregs?
It's going well. You know, it's been an interesting week, to say the least. Looking forward to watching some hockey tonight and getting the dog this weekend. Getting a dog.
You're getting a dog.
Getting another dog.
You already have a dog, and you're committing to two dogs? Or
correct, and a cat. I have a dog and a cat. But I don't know why this just popped in my head to tell this story, but I want to give a plug to the company that manages. They're called the Great Dane Angels. That's the name of the company. Mm-hmm. And what they do is, if there's a family out there who has a Great Dane anywhere across Canada, essentially, that maybe can't handle the dog anymore because it's big or life happens, you get moved, the dog doesn't fit in your... Anyway, so we went through this pretty significant adoption process.
Like a vetting process.
Oh, man.
And they were vetting you,
I'm assuming. Vetting us. I mean, they had to... they did an electronic tour of our house, our property, to make sure that, you know, this ginormous creature was going to be satisfied. And we get Tiny... A Harlequin Great Dane on Saturday. Mm. Three-year-old. She's beautiful.
Wow. All right.
So I'm excited about that.
That should be exciting. That's a game changer, man.
Not sure my Shih Tzu is going to deal with the Great Dane, but we'll see.
That's where it gets dicey.
I want to see pictures of the cat, like how the cat hides in the Christmas tree.
We may not see the cat for several weeks.
The Griswolds.
Going to cage it all out, right?
Yeah.
So when you ask a basic question, what's going on?
That's what's going on. So you're preparing yourself for that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, one thing, too. I mean, Darren just had two sit-downs, one with Paul Ranger on the mystery of Paul Ranger, mm-hmm. and then the one with Mike Babcock. But you told me the other day, when you see Paul Ranger in the dressing room with the players that he's coaching, it's pretty moving. And, I mean, I was absolutely moved. And, you know, we use words like courage and everything. But, you know, I was fascinated by Rick Tocchet when he said, When Paul was in the office and he realized that this wasn't about hockey and he closed down his computer.
Yeah.
He said he had to help. I mean, that recognition of when people... And that's really, you know, what we got to all be aware of. And
I mean, that's 2009, 2010, right? Uh-huh. That's a number of years ago. And for Rick Tocchet to shift gears and recognize that this young man was in trouble, Paul Ranger, and to turn from a coach to a friend, as Ranger describes in the piece... Game changer. Range would be, I know you guys talked to him last night, Brian, yep. but, or yesterday, was it yesterday?
Yeah, yep, yesterday.
He looks to a few people in terms of his support and a reason why he's still here, alive. Dallas Eakins among those. Mm-hmm. Certainly Rick Tocchet for how he handled that situation. And, you know, then the wonderful support that he has at home and with his tight friend group. But, you know, and then to follow that up with the sit down that I did with Mike Babcock, I got to tell you guys, we don't give coaches enough credit in today's NHL for how observant and open they are to making sure that they're part of the healing process, or, you know, they're open to whatever discussion is necessary. And, you know, Babcock has admitted, you know, he's learning on the fly with this type of stuff.
Well, it's a difficult situation. Yeah, I mean, because coaching a team, you've got, in the NHL, 18 different personalities.
Yeah.
18 players, 18 people that react to different sources of information. And different forms of that information being relayed.
Yeah.
When you talk to coaches, some players, they feel like they got a kick in the ass. Others, you can't.
Yeah.
But especially in today's day and age, when you mention a Paul Ranger situation. Like, I found it interesting that Tocchet prefaced the whole story by saying, I was getting mad at him. I can imagine what that was.
Yeah.
Probably him yelling and screaming, like, what the hell
Guaranteed.
Are you doing?
Well, he described his play as egregious mistakes.
Exactly.
I mean, it was...
It's the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Right? So... And it's a short period of time, like you said, only 08, 09.
Short period of time. And I think that even the hardened coaches, and Craig, we've talked about this on air, you know, like a guy like Ken Hitchcock, you know, I know that John Tortorella has reached out to Paul Ranger. I don't think Torts, he gets credit for how the Columbus Blue Jackets play and how successful they've been under his guidance, but I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for how he has evolved as a coach and guardian of young men. And maybe stuff like this, you know, will encourage us to pay a little bit more attention. I got to tell you, you know, I was blown away by the response. Blown away by the response. I knew that Paul, because of you know, his courage and how, you know, emotionally was in being honest and telling the story, would resonate. No, obviously, right? What surprised me were the people who reached out to me, you know, NHL people who reached out to me and told their stories privately, and I'll never divulge the identity of these individuals or what, but you know, my son has gone through this for how many years, and he watched that piece and he said, "Mom, Dad, you got to see it, because that's exactly what I've been living with for the last number of years," you know. So I'm not an expert. I'm not going to call it an epidemic in sport, but it's nice to see in our little world of hockey that people are paying attention to it.
Well, you know, and you know, for people, and I said this to Darren privately, I said, you know, Mike Babcock's used the term, you want to create an environment that's safe for the players. But and we're talking about an environment that allows the players to grow and develop. But when we talk about this environment, you know, Paul Ranger had to feel incredibly safe to be able to share a story as Darren is developing the documentary. And, you know, I think it's important to say this today, because what Darren Millard did last night prior to the game, I mean, you talk about feeling confident and safe and everything. I mean, and we've all, like, I mean, here's Darren. He's sitting in front of a camera nationwide, and for him to share that, I mean, it really does speak to feeling safer and being able to share your story. And it's really important, because to your point, how many people are watching and going, hey, I can get help. I can go and look for it, and I can talk about it.
Yeah, and I know Darren personally. I've known him since he was a Cub reporter back in Brandon, Manitoba. In fact, I hired him. I was a sports director at CKLQ, and he was at CJGX Radio in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. I brought him to his hometown of Brandon, so I've known him personally for a long, long time. You know, to say I'm proud of him doesn't matter. What he did was incredibly tough last night on national television, and you don't do that unless you're willing to pay it forward and to try and help others. And he's going to do that. He did that by being as genuine and as honest as he was. So congratulations
on that. Yeah, that was touching. That was unexpected, too. I mean, we're all tuned in at 7 o'clock, and we're like, where's this going? And, it was a pretty moving moment last night. Babcock, I mean, he's probably coaching a team with this type of a core, this type of youth that he's never really experienced before. He's obviously coached in junior, but I'm talking about at the NHL ranks.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about it throughout the afternoon. There are some vets here, clearly. Marlowe's a vet. Van Riemsdyk's been around for a while. Bozak's in his 30s. But when you think of this Leaf team, you think Matthews, Marner, Nylander, now Travis Dermott's creating a ton of buzz. These kids are all in their young 20s, you know, early 20s, just experiencing the NHL for the first time. And I think he's handled it really well. Like, Babcock's handled it really well, but I would assume when you're talking to him, he's learning through that process as well.
For sure. But, you know, the one thing that I think he is doing well is making sure that the dialogue stays open. And, you know, that's hockey dialogue. You know, he's not going to pat him on the back every single time, right? But he has, I don't know if this is the exact phrase, but he says, coach it when it's right. And what that means is, you know, if a player makes a good play out there, when he gets back to the bench, you give him credit for making that good play, right? You don't hammer him when he comes off the ice after turning the puck over. You know, he knows that he made, like, and that was his point when Morgan Rielly, before he got injured, had back-to-back tough games, right? You could make a pretty sound argument that Morgan Rielly individually cost his team
2 points.
You know, maybe four.
Maybe four.
You know, so, but Mike didn't hammer Morgan Rielly. Why would he? You know, Morgan Rielly knows that those are mistakes that shouldn't and couldn't happen. You move on. Mm-hmm. And I think Babcock does a great job of that.
Well, and when Rielly returns, and he may return on Saturday in Boston. He's not going to play tonight. Hainsey won't play tonight. Pollock won't play tonight. But yeah. He'll be rolling into a situation where Travis Dermott is continuing to establish himself. And we're into February, so we're into the trade deadline coming up. I mean, how do you think his play is affecting their
logistics? I like him, man.
Logistics.
I can't remember who told me from inside the organization, but they told me at the start of the year, keep an eye on this kid because, you know, he's good enough that he might be a top four defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs at some point. Now, they weren't projecting this year, but maybe next year, who knows? But I said this on Leafs Lunch. If I'm a rival general manager, you know, and we know Lou is at least looking to upgrade his blue line to some degree, maybe he doesn't have to now because he's got that piece. And if Dermott continues to, you know, develop and excel at this level, why not give him a shot in the playoffs and see how it goes? But if I'm a rival general manager and we're in meaningful trade discussions, guess who I'm asking for in return as part of a package, depending, of course, on the player that you've identified from Toronto's standpoint. But Dermott, he's not a surprise to anyone. I've done a little bit of background research on this guy. I mean, Craig, how many American League games, and I know how many junior games you go to over the course of the year. It's not like these players just, you know, get promoted from the American Hockey League, play well, and everybody around the league goes, oh, geez, I didn't see that coming. So Dermott might be a surprise to Maple Leafs fans because of how well he's played. But his confidence and his ability and his hockey sense, they've been noted for quite some time.
Yeah, you touch on the word confidence, and he's always had that confidence. Yeah. And, you know, people forget. I mean, he played in Erie with Connor Brown, and he played with McDavid. And he played with Dylan Strome. I mean, he's been around really good players. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. I'm laughing last night, Darren, because I go, you know, he just turned 21, and I'm thinking to myself, I saw him play when he was 16, and I start to go, oh, my Lord. Like, you know, you start to try to rewind. And I was going, like, what number did he wear when he first came in the OHL? Because I was trying to figure out the 23-3, and then I gave up on that. But I really like the way he's not a wallflower. He's not just trying to dip a toe into the water. He's going, I'm here to play, I'm going to play.
He reminds me a bit, in obviously different positions, but from a confidence standpoint, of Matt Barzal with the Islanders, right? You know, now Doug Wade is the perfect coach for Barzal. But in the sense that he's going to direct him, you know, to play a certain way in certain areas of the ice. But aside from that, man, you go out there and you just buzz around and do whatever you got to do. Because, you know, if I'm going to dictate how you play, then I'm going to start taking away your confidence. And your greatest asset is your confidence, especially with the puck. And I don't know that's the way Babcock is managing Travis Dermott, but I'm going to assume that that's a big part of it. There's a developing trust. Maybe it's not that high yet because
it's nine games.
Yeah. I mean, what do we know about Travis Dermott? What we see is what we know, and what we see is something that, you know, shows us that he's going to be a decent player. But for his coach to allow him to play the way he does, I mean, they obviously have a book on him.
We need the microphone on the bench. After he scored his goal and he had the standing ovation and everything, and DJ Smith, who's a really funny guy, he's got a good wit about him. Him and Dermott were in an exchange, and I would have paid anything to get that exchange to hear how he was going back and forth. But you could see Travis was laughing and DJ was laughing, and you know that was a whole lot of fun.
Well, I love watching Dad upstairs.
Yeah,
well, you know,
that too. Oh yeah.
Because look, as someone once told me not long ago, you know, with a kid who's still in the minor hockey ranks and wants to play at a higher level and may or may not. You know, as a dad, man, you love the highs and you loathe the lows. And that, I'm told, does not change when
NHL
your kid
level.
Makes it to the NHL. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it can be worse. So to see just the sheer elation on that man's face when Travis scored that goal, man, that was heartwarming.
Well, you can bank on this, that Dermott probably earlier in the year was calling his dad saying, I can't believe I'm with the Marlies. I think I'm ready to play in the NHL. You know, like that probably happens all the time. Like, why am I being sent? Why is Borgman getting a chance to play?
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready to play.
Yeah.
Why am I with the Marlies again?
And that's natural.
That's absolutely natural.
It is natural, but you know, in fairness to Travis, and, you know, he was in Erie with Sherry Bassin. And the one thing Sherry Bassin always would tell young players is, like, you know what? Don't complain about what you're not. Just continue to show people that you're deserving of a chance.
Yeah. And eventually you get it.
And, you know, those kids that all come through under Sherry, that's been his consistent message over time. So I would suggest
stay hungry.
Yeah, and get, don't you don't have any control over that. So don't let your play slip. And Jerry always sent that message.
As for the Islanders, they come out of the All-Star break with two really poor performances. And John Tavares.
Doug Waite said they were good last night.
No, he did. Man, he said it wasn't. He liked their effort last night. He can't burn them for that.
First
last
5 minutes, maybe.
No, they were not very good. But the Leafs just thoroughly outplayed them. The Leafs skated all over them.
Yeah.
But the Tavares watch, now that we're post All Star break, it's been on all year. But everyone's focused on different factors, like what would possibly lead him to wanting out. How much does this season's success, do you think, factor in? Do you think them getting into the playoffs would make the needle move that much more?
Yeah, I think it would. I think it would. And if they miss the playoffs,
the opposite way,
maybe it moves the other way. I think there are a number of factors, and Pierre LeBrun on Insider Trading talked about it. He had a conversation with Gar Snow, and Snow at least wants it made abundantly clear he is not trading John Tavares. And he can't. How can he? If he trades John Tavares, you know, by February 26th, then, you know, turn the lights off, the party's over for the New York Islanders. So that's not going to happen. But there are some out there who believe that, and it seems a bit obvious, but Tavares has already decided he might as well check what the market is going to show him at the end of the year. But I think there's another factor to this. And, you know, Josh Bailey is a pending unrestricted free agent, and he is having a tremendous year with the New York Islanders. You know, maybe Tavares wants to see if Snow is going to get these guys looked after. You know, make sure Josh Bailey is under contract long term. You know, what's Anders Lee doing after next season, right? What are you going to do with the goaltending? You keep telling us that the goaltending is good enough, but I don't know. I mean, it wasn't Greiss's fault last night. The Islanders were outplayed. But
they got a good one coming, and he's going to play in the Olympics. So I do know that they have a good goalie coming.
But, and fair enough. But
Tavares needs to see that. It's not good enough to hear it.
And even though they've made a deal with Belmont on the building site, you know, what are we talking, 3+ years away? You know, there's a lot of clock time that's got to disappear, you know, before that reality hits. So I think there's still a number of factors.
Let me ask you this. Going into the trade deadline, how important is it for Gar Snow to improve this team, specifically on the blue line, not only to get his team in the playoffs, but also to show John Tavares we are serious here about winning? Because John's talked very clearly, I want a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, any improvements are necessary. To give Garth a little bit of credit, he's trying. He is trying. You know, he acquired Jordan Eberle in the offseason. Yep. I mean, that was a significant add for him. But I think an improvement on that blue line is, again, on the list and part of it. But you talk to both sides, and I talk to both sides. I can appreciate why ownership and the Islanders in general have no choice but to be patient. But you got to wonder, at what point does that patience run out where you say, okay, come on, man. Like, or at least come clean. You know, if we need to add a defenseman because you don't think our blue line is good enough, all right, tell us that. Or if we need to get Josh Bailey signed, you know, so you don't have to watch another good player and a good teammate leave the organization, okay, let's do that. But I feel like they're putting everything at the feet of John Tavares, and that might not be the best approach.
That's very dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Make sure you got the other pieces covered off, and maybe that lures John, you know, to stay long term.
At some point, he's just got to accept what they are. Like, there's nothing they can do between now and the trade deadline that's going to make them a cup contending team anyway. Yeah,
but you can show that, you know, if you get a defenseman, right? Like, you know, and I know you have to be patient as a manager and you have to understand it, but you have to balance it out. Because if Tavares is a star, he's a superstar, right? You better show. And I'm going to give you an example. 1995. We made a pretty significant trade in Dallas, trading a young Jerome Iginla, who we thought was going to be a really good player.
Yeah.
He ended up being better than we thought. I'll be clear on that. But we knew he was a good young player for Neuendijk. A huge part of making that trade, well, I mean, Neuendijk became available. A huge part of that was because we felt that there was a real risk of losing Mike Modano.
No kidding.
And then, so Mike Modano was the first overall pick, and our team is trying. We're trying to move forward. We're trying to do it. And all of a sudden, Mike Modano says, I'm gone. I'm not into this. So that was a significant factor for us moving forward. And I remember Bob Gainey said, do we want to run into the risk of having our best player say to us he doesn't want us anymore?
Yeah.
Well, where does the owner come into play? I don't even know who the owner is anymore. Down
John Ledecky.
Yeah, and Scott Malkin. Malkin.
Yeah, because that factor never gets brought up.
No, it doesn't. But I just know because I know. Paparsana represents John Tavares, is in constant communication with ownership. And that can complicate things too, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It can complicate things. That can go both ways.
But I also feel like that's why we talk about it in the media all the time, because he is the crown jewel of the unrestricted free agent crop, obviously. But I don't think that it draws as much heat, because there is that back and forth at the highest level from the Islanders' ownership to the player.
Well, it can get personal for an owner, right? Which can go, again, both ways. He can step in. Yeah. He can step on his GM's toes and say, you better do this, that, or the other, because the only thing I care about is Tavares.
Yeah.
Or it can flip, where all of a sudden he goes, forget this kid. Who the hell are you? Like, I'm the owner of the team. If you don't want to be here, get the hell out. Like, emotions can...
You might do that with some guys. I don't think you're doing that with Tavares.
Well, I understand. I love John Tavares, but he's not bigger than the team.
No, you're right.
Like, the New York Islanders have been around for a long time, and they're going to be around long after he leaves.
Can I tell you about, for the ownership of the New York Islanders, they're not looking at the Islanders being around for a long time. They're looking at their investment today and what they're going to get out of it. That is the hard, cold reality of it. And the hard, cold reality of it is they might say, you know what? We're not losing John Tavares, and you better darn well make sure. Mm. I don't care about the first round pick or that thing. That's a fact, because they've made a significant investment.
Yeah.
And trust me, Brian, they're not going, well, geez, the Islanders won 4 Stanley Cups. Well, isn't that nice? You know what? Yeah. We don't have to keep Tavares.
Yeah.
They bought into this team, and they want to get a return on this.
As they should. I'm not suggesting they shouldn't. No, I know. But let's not pretend like egos don't get involved with the guys with the most money.
Oh.
Like, owners sometimes step in and say, get the hell out of here. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Tavares. No. Tavares is all class. I don't think he's going to be, you know, acting stupid in the background or his representative or anything like that. But it wouldn't be the first time in sports history an owner just said, forget it. You think you're bigger than the team or bigger than us? Or I'm not going to capitulate to you. I own the team.
Yeah. But look, we want to make comparisons to the Stamkos situation too, right? They're different. They're way different. You know, Steven Stamkos stepped into the negotiation, you know, late in the process to say, I'm staying in Tampa Bay. Let's just take that deal. Let's get it done. But Stamkos looked around the dressing room. And, you know, he could see Kucherov, and he could see Vasilevsky, who everyone believed was going to be as good as he is right now. I mean, he looked at all the elements, Victor Hedman on the back end. I mean, on and on and on it goes, and said, I'm in a place where I'm going to win a Stanley Cup.
Yep, good spot for being. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance and add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance. He is Darren Dreger. You said you got another insider trading rolling on SportsCenter and up
we
on
do.
TSN.
I don't know if it's aired yet, but it's coming up.
It'll be up there at some point. All right, Dregs, enjoy it tonight. Bunch of games, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Here's Darren Dreger, a Hockey Insider. Jack Armstrong coming up. We're done on TSN 2. No more TV time for you, Craig. Until tonight, when you're doing the rounds on where? That's Hockey
TH,
Sports
Darren
Center,
and I
the
doing
whole
TH.
Night. All right. We'll catch you then. And we continue on radio. Leafs in action tonight. We'll tee it up. Raptors in action. We'll tee that up next.
Now, back to Overdrive.
Raps in Washington tonight, taking on the Wizards. And you can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Pregame at 7. No John Wall for the Wizards. Washington's had a very up-and-down year. They've been a competitive team in the East for a number of years, but they're just kind of off the radar. It seems like a three-team race in the East, and there's so much focus on Cleveland for obvious reasons. But Boston and Toronto just continue to plug away. And Toronto rolling into Washington, and they're favored tonight, and I would expect they're going to win. And I feel pretty good about this game tonight, especially without John Wall. But even if he was playing, I'd feel good about the Raptors and the way that they perform this year, especially on the road. They're 15-11 on the road. Sign of the best teams are how you play on the road.
Yeah, you're not in your comfortable environment, and you're going to get challenged in different ways because their team, the team that's at home, is comfortable in their environment. So you have to be able to withstand that, and you're right. Good teams are able to do that.
Cleveland, 11-14 on the road. Now, they're still a good team loaded with talent, but, man, are they a...
Are they... I agree with you about loaded with talent, but are they a good team?
They're not right now.
Yeah.
The way that they're playing, clearly not. Yeah. They're losing all the time. It seems like everyone's got their own program, but I'm still not willing to sell them down the river here in terms of them flipping the switch in April. Let's head down to D.C. Again, Raptors, Wizards tonight right here on TSN Radio. Here's our good buddy, Jack Armstrong. How you doing, Jack?
Brian, how are you, buddy? How you doing?
We're doing pretty well. How would you define Cleveland right now before we get back to the Raps? Are they just a team with talent? Are they a good team? Are they constructed properly? What's your take on the Cavs?
Oh, I think they have tremendous offensive talent.
And at times, I think they just get disinterested. They get the midseason blues. And we've seen this script time and time again. And everybody gets conned. And then when push comes to shove and they fix their defense, which they will eventually, suddenly they're the best team in the East again. So I think a lot of it's a little rope-a-dope and con. And I just think they get bored. And they have some defensive challenges that they have to work through. But I do think that if they get that figured out, they'll be still a very, very dangerous team. Now, obviously, not having Kyrie Irving and instead of, you know, you have an Isaiah Thomas there who's recovering from a significant injury, you know, it's one of those things where you have a situation. Hold on 1 second. I'm just doing a radio show. I'll be done in a minute. Sorry about that.
You're all right there, Jack.
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. But, you know, you have a situation where you have an Isaiah Thomas recovering from an injury, and it's one of those scenarios where he's not the same player as a Kyrie Irving. And I think that changes their team more so than anything else, because I think he's that second option that they were hoping would exist and make a difference. When you have a scenario at the end of the clock where you need a guy to get a big shot, and I think Kyrie Irving was that guy a number of times that would do that for you. And now Isaiah Thomas isn't at that level yet to do it.
So Jack, I have two questions just playing off of that. Number one, as a coach, where do you inject yourself or lay off a little bit, knowing that the team has it in them to turn it around defensively, and you use the term, hey, they're a little bit bored, a little bit of con, you know, that part of it. And then the second part of it is, you know, when you talk about the difference between Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas, how as a coach do you try to adjust that, knowing that your alpha dog there, LeBron James, is a guy that's looking for some help also?
Well, yeah, he's definitely looking for some help. I think the biggest challenge is just from a defensive perspective, I think you have to stay consistent. I think if you're Ty Lue, you know, you have to continue to be on a daily basis energized and come to practice when they do practice, or in their shoot-arounds or video sessions, whatever it may be. And, you know, what you're preaching, what you're teaching, what you're selling has to be that, you know, guys, we're real good. We got a really good team. If we just fix this area, you know, we're still the best team in the conference. But everyone's got to buy in, and everyone's got to do their job. And I think, on the other hand, for a guy like LeBron James, I think if you look at him right now, I think there's a lot of heavy lifting he's doing. And now you take a Kevin Love out of the mix for a while, and this guy's asked to do a whole lot. And then you have the drama of what's going to happen in the off season with free agency, and there's a lot of distractions, there's a lot of noise around the narrative, but I think it's just not just an Isaiah Thomas that they knew it was going to take some time when they got him, getting him right physically. To me, I think the bigger challenge was just they have to get, you know, the ball moving again. The team play offensively, where, you know, they're playing at a high level, where they're a multiple assist team, shooting the three with confidence, and again, getting that defensive energy where it's supposed to be.
Well, you mentioned the white noise surrounding LeBron. There's a piece courtesy of ESPN today suggesting that if Golden State clears some money out, LeBron would be willing to chat with Golden State this upcoming summer. If that were to materialize and he were to sign in Golden State, how would you react to that news?
I don't think we've ever seen anything like that. I mean, if that was going to be a situation where now you have a Kevin Durant a few years earlier and then a LeBron James both going to the Bay Area, that would be, you know, absolutely a stunning development. So when I heard that, read that this morning, needless to say, you were like, that can't be the case. But you know what? He is a free agent, and he has the right to do a deal that's best for him and best for his situation. And it could be anybody that he can go play for. And nonetheless, you know, he's an independent contractor, and he's in a position where he could take his services wherever he'd like. And to me, I think for LeBron James right now, the most important thing is going to be he wants to be in a situation where he's going to have a great opportunity to win. I do think his best opportunity is still in the East, and it's still with Cleveland. I think when you look at, if he goes out west, he probably, if that rumor is true about Golden State, that opportunity probably would be the smartest in Golden State, because if he's anywhere else, I think he's looking up at the Warriors, which is not an easy thing to do. But and also, here's the other thing: there's a lot that has to happen for that to really go down. So they're saying, well, you know, the Cavs would take, Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala. Now, I would take Klay Thompson in a heartbeat. I'm not sure if I would take Andre Iguodala's contract and him at this stage of his career. I mean, what benefit does that give Cleveland? So, to me, I just think it's one of those scenarios where, in the long run, do you really think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to do a favor to the Warriors to make something happen? I think there'd have to be a much better deal in place for that to happen.
With Jack Armstrong down in Washington, Raps Wizards tonight right here on TSN Radio. As for the Raps, you know, we spoke with Dwayne Casey earlier this week, and he's still a little bit rattled that none of his young players were invited to the Young Stars game at the All-Star weekend in L.A., and I understand his gripe. I mean, they got five kids that would qualify that can really play and that continue to contribute, and that's DeLon Wright, Fred VanVleet, Poeltl, Siakam. And who am I missing, Jack? Who's
OG
the other?
Ananobi, yes.
And, yes, exactly. And OG, of course, who's their most recent first-rounder, who's actually starting and putting up starting minutes for them. But now that that's done and they're not going, you know, we can continue to focus on where this team is going and how the kids factor in. And we know they're going to the playoffs. We don't know who they're going to play yet. But the bench shortens in the playoffs. They're not going to be 10, 11 deep in the playoffs. That rotation just doesn't happen unless you've got blowouts. So of the kids that we just mentioned, the five kids, is there one in particular that you think sets up best to have a big impact for the Raptors come playoff time?
You know, it's interesting you bring that point up, because I was just chatting out on the court with a few advanced scouts, and I totally agree with them. As much as we say that you're supposed to cut your rotation during the playoffs, I really think the strength of this Raptor team is when they do go deep. I think games change and they win games when their second unit plays and plays a lot. And I think if they were to cut the minutes of these guys to load up more minutes for their starters, I don't know if they're a better team. I really don't. I think that the formula that's working for them right now in the regular season, quite frankly, with maybe a tweak here or there based upon who's playing well in that particular game, which I think Dwayne Casey does now. If he's got a hot hand or two, he rolls with that guy a little bit more than maybe the other guy. But I think he is going to – I would hope that he goes into games planning to play 10 guys. And, you know, the only reason why maybe a few minutes would be scaled back for one or two players and another guy or two would get a few more would be that, you know, I'm going to roll with that particular hot hand or that hot matchup tonight. But I think their formula has worked. Their formula with these young guys has made them right now the second seed in the East, and it's a big reason why they're good.
We look forward to the game tonight. Enjoy it, Jack. Thank you, as always, for doing this.
Oh, guys, my pleasure, and have a great night.
There's Jack Armstrong. Get back to whoever was bothering him down there in Washington. You do enough radio interviews on the road or in buildings, at some point someone's going to pop up to you and start talking. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
Not realize that you're holding a phone. That's society in 2018.
Well, as you know, I have the earpiece that I wear all the time, so people don't know if I'm on the phone or not. So, you know, you start, oh, you're on the phone.
Throws you way off.
It does, yeah.
You've thrown me off before where I've given the wave, and I'm like, I think he's on the phone.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's on the phone. Yeah, the earpiece can really, yeah. If your profile's the opposite way, no one has a clue that you're on the phone. But thanks again to Jack again. We'll see what happens. I mean, conventional wisdom's always suggested you cut down the bench, but these kids are playing really well for the Raps. You know, they're a deep, deep team.
Well, we talked a little bit about it with, not a little bit, we talked a lot about with it with Ray and Jeff about young players and Dermott and everything. Like, you know, if you have players that can play, right, and they're good, you know, why not keep pushing the pace? Why not keep pushing and saying, hey, listen, we can overwhelm you with 10 players here if those other players are playing well. It's not like you're not trying to force feed players that aren't ready to help you. Like, they've shown clearly
absolutely
that they can be real good contributors.
Yeah.
And I think you always have to, you know, factor that in when you're considering, do you want to go to a deeper bench, or do you want to go to a more of a rotation, or do you want to shorten it up? And mm-hmm. I think the Raptors right now, I like the fact that you can overwhelm a team and push them.
Well, that's what you need. I mean, the second unit's going to play. You know, yep, the stars and the superstars on the other team are going to hit the bench at some point. If you can expose that team and their second unit, take advantage. And that's what the Raptors have done really well this year.
I don't want a team of players that go out there in the second wave, let me just call it that, in the rotation, and just they go out there just to give everybody a rest.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to go out there and expand the lead and make it hard for the other team, and the other team goes, oh boy, we better get those guys off the court, and then they got to play their bigger guys more, and then your rested players come back, and then they take advantage, and then the gap just widens and widens over time. That's mm-hmm. what I want.
I'm with you. Be aggressive. Go out yeah. there and set the tone, and if you got a lead, make it a bigger lead
yeah.
by the time you step off the court. Raps in Washington tonight. Again, you can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Leafs in New York taking on the Rangers. You can watch that on TSN 4. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and tee up the two games next. Bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the hockey board tonight, Boston finally lost the other night, and I have a feeling they may hit a bit of a wall here. I got St. Louis tonight. They're paying 220. St. Louis paying 220. No Brad Marchand. Boston's a really good team. We're really rolling. But
well, no Charlie McAvoy either.
And McAvoy's out,
so
too.
I think those are, like, I'm with you on St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. I'll take St. Louis under the number Montreal, Carolina. Like, who's scoring for these two teams?
Although they had that 6-5, you know, like, you know, like the
last
the
week they did go
6-5. They burned
6-5.
Out a red light in the Bell Center.
That's it. They used all the scoring
oh, yeah.
about a week ago. And I'll take Anaheim and Ottawa tonight. Throw down 20 and you can score 116. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. We've had a great afternoon. Teddy Bruschi called in the 5 p.m. hour. Don't forget to find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, or subscribe and check out every hour and every interview on iTunes. And TSN 1050 Super Bowl coverage is brought to you by Healthy Planet. Healthy Planet, your source for healthy living. Do you have Super Bowl plans, Craig? Are you back in Calgary? Or
I'm
going
to be in Calgary, you know, just getting prepared to go over to South Korea. But, you know, just kind of relax, a couple of friends, and watch the game. And, you know, I'll be honest, that I'm going to miss the Michael Landsberg party this year. He always has a nice Super Bowl party. I always mm-hmm. enjoy going, but I'm heading to the Olympics, so I can't go. I really enjoy it. He does a nice job, him and his wife Karen, and it's always fun.
Yeah, I've heard of the Landsberg parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been invited to one of the Landsberg parties, but I've heard good things about it. Yeah, off to South Korea, man. Like, you must be dreading that flight.
You know what? My wife and I went to South Africa this past August, and it's 21 hours flying time.
21 in the air.
Well,
no escape.
So we went to Frankfurt. Yeah, we went to Frankfurt. Then we had the full day, and then we took another. But it was 21 hours of flying time there and back. So I mean, you manage it, and you have to do it. But you know, I travel so much. There's things to do and things you can find to do, and you find a little time to sleep. And you know, you just
getting sleep is such a priority.
Oh, it is.
You need, even if it's just like an hour and a half or 2 hours. You need something.
Bingo.
To cut some time off.
So yeah, it'll be interesting. I was bragging to Tessa earlier about my flight that I've kind of figured out how I want to get myself prepared for that little bit of sleep and everything.
Okay.
And she gave me a little sly look, and she goes, let me know how it goes.
Is she not going over?
No, she's doing it at NBC Studios out of Stanford.
So
she's
really
hosting, I think she told me 10 at night, 2 in the morning, 7 in the morning, and then she's doing a rap show at from 9:30 to 10 in the morning. So
yikes.
It's the way it is. Time change.
Yeah, it's
I'm looking forward
do.
To it.
And in 4 years, it'll be no different in China. It's the same thing.
Yep, exactly the same thing.
I don't know where the games are in 2020. Are they in L.A.? I think maybe L.A. stepped up in 2020. Was it 2024?
Yeah, no. Well, they've split between, they've awarded 2024 and 2028.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they haven't, 2020 is Japan.
Oh, really? So they're just staying over there six years, basically.
They're staying right over there in Asia.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's the world event. It's, you can't complain about it, but I will complain about it. It sucks. Anyway, Leafs in New York taking on the Rangers tonight. You can watch that on TSN4. They're coming off maybe their best game of the year. And if it wasn't last night, it was probably last week in Dallas. They've played two very, very good games in a row. Same lineup tonight. No Hainsey, no Pollock. So Justin Hall will be playing. Travis Dermott obviously will be playing. And the Raptors are in Washington taking on the Wizards tonight. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Craig, I may not see you between now and March, I guess.
Yeah, you probably won't.
All right, buddy. Enjoy yourself over
there. But if you want to phone me over there,
we will.
Happy to help.
You can bank on it. Yeah. We'll be calling you.
I think Canada's got as good a chance to win the gold medals. I think this would be an unbelievable accomplishment for this group of players and this team to go over there and defend the back-to-back gold medals from 2010 and 2014.
Three-peat, baby.
Yeah.
Do it.
I'm excited.
All right, Craig. Enjoy, man.
Thanks.
This is Craig Button. And Noodles will be back tomorrow. Mike Johnson in here tomorrow. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.